May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. One of my very favorite parts of gift giving is when a gift comes with a story. Frequently on Christmas, in my family, as a package is handed over, the giver will hesitate just a moment before releasing it to the recipient's grip. There's a story with this one. Sometimes the story is about a mishap, like the time my mom thought she was ordering cute little puppy shoes for her granddaughter, but they turned out to be size 9 adult, and there was no return policy. Other times, the story outlines the great lengths gone to procure the gift, like the time my brother presented my parents with the door knocker from their first apartment in married housing at IU. As I'm unsure of the statute of limitations on such things, I will not go into any additional detail on how it came to be in his possession, other than to say they were tearing the building down anyway. Gifts accompanied with a story are my favorite kind. And this isn't limited to interpersonal gift giving. The same is true about gifts given to agencies, charities, and even just random acts of kindness done for strangers. I've invited you today to share a story that goes along with a gift you've given to an organization or some other communal effort for doing good. And I believe Pierce and Bethany and Ethan will manage the choir up there, are prepared with microphones. If you just wave them down if you have something that you'd like to share.
So last September, me and Mike got married, and so habitat is very important to us. So in lieu of gifts, we asked for donations to be made to Habitat, and it was really nice. We got to meet the young lady who received the Habitat house, and we got to go and present her with $1,500 in cash, five $200 gift cards to Walmart. We felt it was very important, someone getting a brand new house, to be able to do stuff in the house for it.
Thanks, Barry. Pierce, do you see Debbie over there? Oh, all right, we got one from the choir. Let them go first. Go ahead, choir.
I donate regularly to the Children's Theater of Southern Indiana just because I've seen the response from children who are able to work as a community together to grow and explore the world around them.
Thanks, Peter.
I have an organization that's very close to my heart, and it is Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center. And I grew to learn more about the center because of the car club we belong to, because they're very active in it. So I've gotten to know a lot of the administration, and I realize how important it is that it's great that they take care of babies and young kids, but they also take care of older people, like many of us, if we have a stroke or rehabilitation from a surgery we've had or a procedure we've had. So I've really grown very fond of them, and it's nice to walk in and they go, oh, hi, you're back again. So that's mine.
Thank you, Debbie. All right, Harmony.
So I use yarn scraps and fabric scraps to make hats for NICU babies at St. Mary's and St. Vincent's, and I know from experience how much that helps.
Wonderful. Thanks, Harmony. Chris?
Hello. Yeah, that works. Okay. I probably have two. One here locally is the United Way. I'll give an analogy. I'm not an investment professional, and when I have my savings to invest, I rely on professionals to invest my money, and I look at the United Way much the same way. You know, they are very organized, make sure that the money that they have goes to very, competent charities, and make sure it's spread to the people who really need it in our community. And so I really believe in giving to them. And then secondly, I'll just say, since Emily won't do it, JDRF is very near and dear to my heart. I'm a type 1 diabetic myself. I know the president of JDRF internationally, and they do amazing work, and I sincerely believe that they will cure type 1 diabetes in my lifetime. So I know there's many people in this church and our families are affected by that.
Thanks, Chris. Bethany, you got a couple right here. Sue is right there on the aisle, and then Pierce K is right behind you.
I'm Sue Nall, and I'm a retired elementary counselor from Mount Vernon School Corporation. And I donate to an organization there called the Posey County Community Women's Fund. And they gave money when we had an after-school program for fifth-grade girls, teaching social skills, how to get along with others, and just a little bit of cooking. And it was called Girl Power. And it was really helpful to have them so that we could have the program.
Thank you.
22 is a place in Posey County. It's in Mount Vernon, and it's called At the Cross Mission. It's a little tiny hole-in-the-wall place on the west side of the square, and they don't have the space for people to sit down and eat a meal, but every night they cook a hot meal, and they have carry-out service, and they are doing amazing things. Someday they will grow with enough contributions to have a place where people can come and sit down and be in community when they're eating their hot meal.
Thanks, Kay. We got Pam back here.
And I'm gonna give a plug for your mission, your UCC mission in Biloxi, Mississippi, Back Bay Mission. My husband, John, and I have been giving of our time and donation for about 15-plus years. We are the oldest ones there, by the way. And anyway, we appreciate all donations and all time. They build homes for the underprivileged. They have centers where the unhoused can go and stay during the day. They have food pantries and a soup kitchen. So I appreciate any and all of all the donations. And we go again November 2nd through 8th. So join us. It's always fun.
Thanks, Pam. All right.
My kids thought it was important that I tell you guys we're involved in Kairos Prison Ministries. We take a three-day walk with God to the hardest of the hard guys in Wabash Prison in Branchville. It's a worldwide mission. We take a three-day sabbatical with these guys. We carry the word of God. The most important thing you guys can do is you ever offered to make cookies for these guys. We take 3,000 dozen cookies into the prison, and every prisoner in the entire facility three times a day gets a dozen cookies. These cookies are all made the same way. They're all prayed over. They have changed lives. Kairos is literally, Branchville Prison is called a prison of God now because of what Kairos has done inside that prison. These men know when Kairos are there. The last time I went was 2 years ago, and the guy that I was teamed up with, he was he had four attempted murders and murder on the same guy, right? The third day we were there, he gave his life to God, and he is still leading a prison ministry there, Bible studies, and everything. So we can change lives.
Thank you. All right, Steve, we'll finish up with you. Go ahead, Steve.
Susan and I are going to tag team here in a minute, but University of Evansville has been dear to our hearts. We graduated in the 70s and have been very active since. The usual things that the university does to enrich the lives of our community, theater and music and concerts and lectures and all that, those are the obvious ones. I was in the first class at Harlaxton back in 1971-72. A fellow member of the church, D. Carithers, was in that same class, and it truly transformed my life. And education is very important to us. Susan is going to talk about three things that are
just hand it over, Steve.
Well, in addition to what we feel like the university provides to us personally, they also are a very good citizen in the Evansville community. Just very briefly, UE was one of the leaders in developing the Promise neighborhood, which some of you may be familiar with. They conduct the Changemaker Challenge every year for high school students, provide some scholarships, and they've also come out with some pretty innovative ideas. And then most recently, the university has opened a mental health clinic whose services are available to the Evansville community.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who shared. I'm sure we could probably share all day. It's great to hear these stories. Thank you to our kids for running the microphones. So we understand what it, you guys can have a seat. We understand what it is like to have a story that brings us to want to give. Just like our stories frequently, our gifts frequently come accompanied with a story, Israel's gifts are meant to as well. And their story is so important, so integral to their giving, that God literally scripts it for them, as we saw in our scripture passage for today. The Israelites, who once transitioned from slaves to free people, are poised now to transition from wilderness nomads to a settled people. And as part of the rules that will govern their lives in the Promised Land, God commands them to bring their first fruits of the land as an offering. If you will, I'd love for you to open your Bibles and follow along, and we'll take a look at this passage together again, Deuteronomy 26 on page 180. Beginning with verse 1, when you have come into the land that your Lord God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Did you notice when Rich read it for us how many times the Lord your God was repeated? 9 times in 11 verses, with an additional 5 references to the Lord. God is named more than once per verse in this passage. The message is clear. God is responsible for Israel's good fortune. God made the promise long ago to Abraham that one day his people would be a great nation, settle in the Promised Land, and be a blessing to all the nations. And these promises have come to pass in phases. Abraham's descendants experienced a baby boom while in Egypt, becoming a people great in number, or a great nation. And now they are settling in the land that was also promised long ago. At every step, the Lord your God was moving toward this end. And now, when the people enjoy the fruits of the land they have inherited, possessed, and settled in, they are to take the first fruits of the harvest to the priest and tell this offering story. Verse 5b. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. Let's pause here for a minute. The wandering Aramean was Israel's great ancestor, Jacob, whose name God changed to Israel, who landed in Egypt because of a famine. He came as an alien, a refugee in the midst of crisis. And at first, Egypt welcomed him and his people. And in Egypt, God blessed his family, and they grew in number. Though they posed no true threat to Egypt, their growth scared Pharaoh, so he enslaved them. Now let's jump back into the offering story, verse 6, and pay close attention to how descriptive the speech is. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. Notice that rather than a simple, God rescued us from slavery in Egypt, the offering maker details both the depths of affliction experienced by the Israelites and the extent of God's compassion and power. The offering story concludes, drawing closer to the present day in verse 9. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. Because of what God did for our people, because God took us from a single wandering Aramaean and made us into a great nation, heard us when we cried out, rescued us, and brought us into this fertile land, all as promised, because of that, I bring this offering today. And not just any offering, the first fruit. As Miss Margaret shared with the children, an offering of first fruit is an offering made in faith. To bring the first fruit is to give before you have any sense of what the harvest will yield. To give from one's abundance is a good thing, yes. But to give the first fruit is an act of faith that there will be enough, even before you can see that for yourself. The prescribed offering story rehearses the reasons why they can have this faith. The giver can be confident that the harvest will be enough because his God has a robust history of caring for this people. The offering story scripts for Israel, the offering story script for Israel is an ever-present reminder that their flourishing can only exist because of the leg up God gave them by calling them as a people, rescuing them from Egypt, and giving them the land as an inheritance. Yes, they plant the seed. Yes, they tend the fields. And yes, they bring in the harvest. They work for what they have. But the offering story grounds them in the fact that everything they build in their lives and in their nation is the direct result of God's gracious gifts of life, liberation, and land. The offering story is meant to keep them humble. Remember again the last line of the story. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. It all belongs to God. There's one more instruction in our passage for today pertaining to what is to be done with this offering. Verse 11. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. The bounty of the land is to be celebrated with the Levites, that is, the priests, whose sustenance depended on these kind of offerings, and also to be celebrated with the aliens. A recurring theme throughout the Old Testament is that Israel knows what it's like to be aliens. They were aliens in Egypt. Shoot, once they were literally a single wandering Aramaean. And because of this firsthand experience, because of their history, they are to share with and care for the aliens living among them. After delivering their offering story, the next step is to share the bounty with those who have no land of their own and no way to produce what God has provided for Israel. I wonder, if God scripts this offering story for Israel because it is so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget that we did not build all that we have with our own two hands. That every one of us has benefited from God's grace in our lives and from the good fortune of where we were born and to whom we were born. It's easy to slip into the amnesia that says, I offer this gift because of what I have done, what I have made of myself, what I have made for myself. I can share because of my success. But that is not the offering story the Israelites tell, and it's not the one that we are meant to tell. We are meant to tell the story that rehearses the blessings we've received and then pivots to, so now, I bring this gift born out of the blessings that you, O Lord, have given me. Lent is a great time for us to work on restoring our memory and batting back the amnesia. During Lent, we rehearse our shortcomings and remember that nevertheless, God's grace has never let up. If you're looking for a spiritual discipline this Lenten season, I invite you to spend some time drafting or reviewing your own personal offering story. You can do this on your own with a journal and a pen or with your family or close friends. Now, it's important to note that these stories aren't meant only for material or financial offerings, but for giving of our time and talents as well. Anything we wish to offer to God in response to God's gifts in our lives. An offering story is deeply personal, of course. My personal blessings are not the same as yours. And certainly, naming blessings is easier for some of us than others. Some of us could name them all day, while others in our community and our world do not know the material, familial, personal, and communal blessings we enjoy. But at the very least, our offering story should be some version of, God gave me life, God gave me new life in Christ. So now I bring my offering born out of the gifts God has given me. Or if you prefer the more poetic, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Because of amazing grace, I bring this gift. Thanks be to God. Amen.